Welcome on into the Jazz Talk Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about Mike Conley. What has he done for the Jazz over his 3 years with them? Where has he been a positive and where has he been a negative? And how do we feel about Mike Conley going forward with this team? And we'll share a few different trade scenarios, including an addendum to the trade scenario that I brought up in the last episode. So, first off, when the Jazz brought in Mike Conley, they had just done, I believe it was 2 years with Ricky Rubio. They were an absolutely dominant defense, but they really struggled at the time to put up points. And so Dennis Lindsay at the time decided to make a change from being a defensive-focused team to being an offensive-focused team. Now, I believed at the time, and I really feel like it at this point, is that they kind of overdid it. There were some guys on the team that really made sense, that could play, at least give them a little something on the offensive end, but made them a lot better on the defensive end. And they kind of subbed them out for 100% offensive players. And part of that was bringing in Mike Conley. Now, Mike Conley is a much better point guard, in general than Ricky Rubio. You just look, skills wise, Mike Conley is definitely the better player. Ricky Rubio, though, however, is much more of a natural leader. He's better in he was the guy that kind of took over the locker room in his time with the Jazz. And Mike Conley's just not that guy. He's not a very vocal guy. More of a lead by example type. And when you have two young stars, especially two young stars like, Rudy and Donovan that are a little more sensitive, you kind of need that voice of reason in the locker room. So when the Jazz went out and got Mike Conley, they sent out Jay Crowder, Kyle Korver, Grayson Allen, and a couple first round picks. Overall, value was just fine. You're getting a fringe all-star level player for basically one guy that was still a rotation player at that point, a young prospect that was, maybe going to make it or not. He's now become a rotation piece for the Bucks. And Kyle Korver, who I think was 38 at the time, was kind of on his way out of the league. And then two late 20s first-round picks. What bringing in Mike Conley did, along with bringing in Bojan Bogdanović, was the Jazz were much better offensively. They had the ability to space the floor a lot easier. Mike is a fantastic pick and roll point guard. Has one of the better floaters in the league, which is still not a very efficient shot. But when you can shoot it as well as he does, it turns out to be an okay shot. So Jazz, when they brought him in, he had 2 years left on his deal. When he signed that deal, he was actually the highest paid player in the NBA, had the highest paid contract in the NBA. Now contracts that are being signed nowadays, I mean, they make his look like, just an average player's, contract, which sidebar, from what I've heard, when the new TV contract and all that gets signed, and I believe it's the summer of 2025, from everything I've been hearing, like 17 to 20 million is like the expected average salary. And then you're going to see star players getting somewhere around 70 million per year. But anyway, getting back to Mike Conley. So Mike struggled in his first year with the Jazz. He had been in Memphis for, I believe, 11 or 12 seasons, had a great career there. And so then he came to the Jazz. They played a completely different style of basketball. He was no longer the number one guy with the Jazz. He had to defer to Donovan and to Rudy at times. And then Bojan also showed up and was a guy that can put up 20 points a game. So he had to kind of figure out his role. And throughout most of the year, he struggled. Around the All-Star break, he really started to get things figured out. And then we went into the bubble. So there's 3 months off of play, and then they went into the bubble to finish off the season. Boyan was hurt, and so Mike had to step up, and he really did. In that series against the Nuggets, he did really well. Unfortunately, they weren't able to finish off that series with the Nuggets, but they had kind of gotten things figured out. So they went into the next season, which was the 2020-2021 season. Really short off season, but they got things going. They're the number one team in the NBA that year. Even though it was a 72 game season, they were on a 62 win pace. And Mike played great. He made his first All-Star game of his entire career. Now, personally, I kind of believe that it was kind of more of a gimme type pick to give it that to him. They had a couple injuries, so they needed replacements. And I feel like guys like DeMar DeRozan were maybe a little bit more deserving. But anyway, they gave Mike Conley the nod. And you really can't say that he didn't deserve it. It's just there may have been a couple guys that had better seasons. But anyway, so he played great. They get into the playoffs. And, Mike has had struggles with his hamstrings for quite a few years, and he had troubles with it in Memphis too, and it hit at the worst time possible. Going into the playoffs, they handled the Grizzlies pretty easily. Then they go up against the Clippers, and the Clippers have all those athletes out there. They have all that length, athleticism type of roster I've been saying the Jazz need to build for a while. And Mike can't play. Donovan's basically on one leg because of his ankle. And they tried to bring Mike back for game six, and he just couldn't move. So then they go into the offseason, and the Jazz decide, you know what, we're the number one team in the West last year. We're going to roll things back and, add a couple pieces, but hopefully, we can get it done. And that was this season, the 2021-2022 season. And Mike had a good season. He really did. I can't remember who it is. I think it's I don't know why I can't think of his name. There's a guy that works at ESPN that's a super stats nerd type guy. Anyway, so he came out with his rankings for this season, and during the regular season, by this guy's numbers, Mike Conley had the 27th best season in the NBA. He really struggled in the playoffs, and so did Donovan, and so did just about every single guard in the league that was under like 6'3". And that's a trend we've been seeing in the league, lately, is you want as many guys, in that like 6'5" to 6'10" range that can handle the ball a little bit, that can defend, and the Jazz just don't have that many guys like that. And so they struggled. They end up losing to the Mavericks in six games. And so now we're to this offseason. And before the playoffs even started, there were a lot of rumors that this was going to be a big eventful summer for the Jazz. There's going to be a lot of change. Now, we're still pretty, well, not really far away, but we're still a few weeks away from anything real happening. I believe the draft is on the 24th. Somewhere around there of June, and then the free agency begins July 1st. So we're about, 3.5, 4 weeks or so away from the offseason really getting going. And around draft time is when, you can start making trades. And so that brings us to the next part of talking about Mike Conley. So I personally believe that the Jazz absolutely cannot bring back Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell. If they decided to trade Donovan Mitchell, which I do not think is likely at all, but say, some big superstar came available by trading Donovan, like say they could swap Donovan for, we'll say for Giannis, that's not going to happen, but just for argument sake, they could trade Donovan for Giannis. Okay, then they would do something like that, but I just don't see that happening. So, Because of that, you cannot bring Mike Conley back. That's what I believe. You cannot run that small backcourt together anymore. Really quickly, before we move on. So, if we look at the Jazz, their starting lineup is Rudy Gobert, Bojan Bogdanovic, Royce O'Neal, Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley. So you're looking at 7-1, which is great height for a center. 6-8, which is, it's okay for a power forward, but then it's 6-4, 6-1, 6-1. The Jazz have to get larger. Quinn Snyder's talked about this quite a few times, how the Jazz just do not have very good positional length. And I think that's a big reason why they've had defensive struggles in the past. And, they keep finding these guys that can develop over time. They can become really skilled, but they're not very athletic. So, like George Niang. George Niang is 6'8", which is fine height for a power forward. He can't move very well. and that's why he fits perfectly into his role with the Sixers, where it's like, yeah, he's like the eighth or ninth guy. He can come in and knock down some threes, but on the defensive end, we're gonna try and hide him. And the Jazz have had the problem of having multiple guys like that on the roster at the same time, where you can't just hide one and you have four other athletes on the court together. If you're running, we'll use George Niang still as the example, even though he's not with the team anymore. Excuse me. If you're running George Niang, Mike Conley, Jordan Clarkson, Derek Favors from last year, and Joe Ingles together, there's really not any great defenders at all on the court right there. Derek was a really good defender, but there's not much he can do. You swap Derek out for Rudy. Rudy's the most amazing defender in the NBA right now. There's not much he can do when the other four aren't that great, and that's been the Jazz problem for a while now. What Mike gives them on the offensive end, what he gives them in the locker room, is invaluable. Like it, he's a great locker room guy. he has a lot of skills on the offensive end. But the Jazz have these, they have all these weaknesses that are only compounded by having 2 6-1 guys in the backcourt at the same time. So I believe Mike's gone. I just don't see any way that they're going to bring him back. And you can't even really say like, oh, we'll keep him around, but he's going to come off the bench for us. He's going to make $23 million this next year. You really cannot justify having a guy that makes that much coming off the bench, unless he's going to go out there and be the best bench player in the entire NBA. He'd be a really good bench player, but he's not going to go out there and in 22 minutes give you 20 points and eight assists. He's more of a guy that can kind of just sit within the flow of the offense and take over when he needs to, but for the most part, he's going to defer. So anyway, with that, let's get into some trade scenarios with Mike Conley. Since we've decided it's way more likely than not that he's not going to be with the team. So we brought up the trade last week of sending Mike Conley, Rudy Gay, Royce O'Neal, and Juan Hernan Gomez to the Lakers and getting back Russell Westbrook and some picks. Now, I still like that trade, but I'd like to make a bit of a change to it. And that change is the Jazz getting a different player out of it, basically. So it's still all those guys involved, except for Russell Westbrook is now going to be routed to the Rockets, and the Rockets are going to send to the Jazz John Wall. Now, two of the first round picks that the Lakers were going to give us in that pick, they'll get sent to Houston just to kind of, grease the skids a little bit to get them to agree to this. So now the Jazz have replaced Mike Conley with John Wall. Now, why would they want to do that? Well, same reason as Russell Westbrook with the contract. He's got one huge contract year left at $47 million. But then his contract's gone. You clear the books a little bit, and you can kind of move on from there. John Wall's about 6'4", about 210 or so. I'll tell you, when he was with the Wizards, I went and watched the Jazz play the Wizards. John Wall was the fastest basketball player I've ever seen. His ability to cover ground, I've never seen anything like it. De'Aaron Fox with the Sacramento Kings is kind of close, but John Wall was freaky. Now, John Wall's older now. He's dealt with some injuries, so he's not the same absolute freak of nature speedster on the court anymore, but he's way more athletic than Mike Conley is at this point. The Rockets did not play John Wall at all last year. They were looking for a trade for him, but they weren't going to buy him out. So they kind of just sat him out and hoped that a trade would come. It never did. So he's been working out in Miami all year long, trying to get himself ready to go, stay in shape, work on his skills. So he's going to be fresh. He's going to be ready to go to help the Jazz for this season. He's a great passer, not a great shooter, but he's better than Russell Westbrook on that end. But he's also known for being one of the best defensive point guards in the NBA, especially when it comes to block shots. Because he brings that length, he brings that athleticism, and he's a smart player. So that's the first option that I'm going to talk about. That we're talking about here. The next actually comes from Jazz Nation, which, if you're not familiar with Jazz Nation, this guy, I became familiar with him on Instagram. He now has a podcast, the Jazz Nation podcast. He does a great job. He puts out a lot of content. But he came up with a trade that I think really works, and I think it works for all three teams. So this would get the Jazz a longer wing type player to replace Mike Conley with, to where you can move Donovan Mitchell to the point guard, and this guy will come in and play the two, give them more length, a little more defensive ability, more athleticism, and so on. So this trade involves the Jazz and the Lakers again, but also involves the Cavaliers, because the Cavaliers have been rumored to be interested in bringing in Russell Westbrook. So what this trade would be is Mike Conley goes to the Los Angeles Lakers. Russell Westbrook goes to the Cavaliers. Kevin Love from the Cavaliers goes to the Lakers, and the Jazz get Caris LeVert. So let's just talk about the Jazz part of this. I don't really want to talk about the other teams, why they'd want to do this, but I believe this is a team that all three teams would really consider saying yes to. But so Mike or Caris LeVert is somewhere in that 6'6" to 6'7" range. He plays the two and the three. He's not a fantastic defender, but he's good. He's a good athlete. He's kind of a high volume type scorer. He's kind of Jordan Clarkson-esque. And so you'd have to kind of figure out exactly how he fits next to Donovan, because that's what made Mike Conley a good fit next to Donovan, is the fact that he can work without the ball. He'll just shoot when he gets wide open, catch and shoots. He's not going to put up a bunch of shots. But anyway, Caris LeVert has 1 year left on his deal at, I think, $17.5 million. So the Jazz would actually be saving money with this contract, bringing him in. And then I think he's going to be 27 this next season. And so if he does really well, you can sign him to another, 3 or 4 year deal and keep him around. If it doesn't work out, again, that contract comes off the books a year earlier than what Mike Conley's would have, and you have more flexibility going forward. So then another option that I like for the Jazz, I know that they're really interested in Jeremy Grant. At the trade deadline. Now, the Pistons didn't end up making a trade with Jeremy Grant because they just felt like they weren't getting the package that they thought they should have from trading Jeremy Grant. But I think he's definitely going to get traded this summer. And so I would call up the Pistons, offer them Mike Conley, Jared Butler, give the Pistons another, young, athletic player to try and develop, a 2026 first round pick, and then 3 seconds. I would not give up that second first round pick, because then you're really low on picks if you do that. But if they can get Jeremy Grant back for that, now all of a sudden you put him, Bojan Bogdanovic together, and then I would probably put Nickeil Alexander-Walker in the starting lineup, at the two next to Donovan. And now you're going, instead of 7-1, 6-8, 6-4, 6-1, 6-1, now you're 7-1, 6-9, 6-8, 6-6, 6-1. So you're a lot longer, you're more athletic. Jeremy Grant wants to go to a team where he can, be like the second option offensively. He doesn't want to be the third, fourth, fifth option like he's been in other places in his career, like he was in Denver, like he was in Oklahoma City. And with the Jazz, he's basically just got to fight with Bojan Bogdanovic for number two, because Mike or Donovan's going to be number one. But then after that, both Jeremy Grant and Bojan Bogdanovic are guys that can average right around 20 points a game for a season. Jeremy Grant's long, athletic, very good defender, very good secondary defender, a guy that can come and clean up the rim. If Rudy Gobert cannot be at the rim, he can come and help protect it. And then the last trade that I'm going to bring up is very similar to the Jeremy Grant one, but it's Harrison Barnes instead. Now, Harrison Barnes is a couple years older. And I don't think he's quite the same level of player as Jeremy Grant, so I think you can get him for a slightly lower type of package to get him, which would give you, more assets to work with as far as filling out the rest of the roster. So if you went to the Kings, now the Kings may not be interested in this because they already have De'Aaron Fox. They have Davion Mitchell as their, young up and coming point guard. So maybe Mike Conley would have to get sent to another team as part of this. But I would call up the Kings, offer up Mike Conley and that 2026 first and 1 second round pick. So you still get to keep Jared Butler around. You get to keep 2 extra seconds for Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes, 6'8", bigger bodied, probably close to 230. But would come in, play the power forward right next to Bojan Bogdanovic, make him longer, more athletic. He's a better 3-point shooter than Jeremy Grant, but he's not quite the athlete on the defensive end. So those are the trades that I've kind of come up with for Mike Conley. There's a lot of other things you can come up with. You could add contracts to him and go out and get, like a Gordon Hayward or maybe D'Angelo Russell from the Timberwolves, something like that. But those are the four that I've seen either brought up or that I've come up with that I think makes sense for both for all the teams involved, and would make sense for the Jazz going forward as they try to become longer, more athletic, and better fits, try to put better fits around Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell as they go forward as a franchise. But with that, we're going to go ahead and end this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a great day and go Jazz.